Hello, hello. Welcome one and all, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is episode 3 of the Scientology Chat Podcast. I am here with the gracious host over here, Mr. Guy, Sir, person over here.
Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
You're welcome. I worked on
it. Today's podcast is going to kind of just be a little more general than the last two, where we talked about some specific things.
Good, I like general.
The next episode we're going to be talking about is going to be a good one. We're going to go over Scientology's representation in different forms of media, mostly focusing on video games, because a lot of people imagine that if something criticizes, satirizes, or any even mentions the Church of Scientology, that Scientologists would not be allowed to play it or not watch it or anything like that.
Are you talking about, like, specifically Fallout 3? Not Fallout 3, GTA 5. I don't know where I got that.
Well, more than just that, but of GTA, because the parody church that makes fun of Scientology and that starts in, I think, GTA 4. So it's been for a while, yeah.
I miss running people over in that game.
Yeah. The main things in that video that we'll talk about is Grand Theft Auto, because that's such a big game, and I had already mentioned how I played Grand Theft Auto Online with my case supervisor. And then the Fallout series.
Oh, Fallout 2. Right.
Because Hubologists in that game span all the way back to, like he said, Fallout 2 in, like, 1999. So.
Well, and that still bothers me that I have no idea what you're talking about. But I am such a big Fallout fan and have played Fallout 1, Fallout 2. I haven't played Fallout Tactics yet, but my favorite is Fallout 3.
Yeah. I think so, but before we even talk about it, we're going to kind of go back over and play through it again. I want to catch back up on the similarities and differences between the two in the game. And we're also going to talk about the movie The Master.
Ooh, that's very, very good movie, by the way.
Yeah, because there are other movies and TV shows, but that one in particular is interesting because the director and writer, I believe, of that, he was either one, the other, or both, I can't recall specifically, but he had previously worked with Tom Cruise, and then before the movie was released, he privately screened the movie for Tom Cruise because he didn't want him to get pissed off about it. So.
Well, I thought you were going to go like the Martin Lawrence situation where he plays everybody in the movie.
It would have been.
Or Eddie. Does Eddie Murphy do that too?
In Big Mama, I think he does. I can't remember.
The classic.
Or no, he's he's not Big Mama. That's.
Is that Ty
I think that's Martin Lawrence. And then Eddie Murphy.
Oh, yeah, Big Mama's House. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then Eddie Murphy has another one. They're all different versions of Medea, basically. The first thing I wanted to talk about was because in the last episode, as I was listening back on it, there was part where I was talking about the Handbook for Scientologists. And I think I didn't want that to cause any confusion, especially with other current and former or independent Scientologists.
Yeah, shame you for being confused, if you are.
Well, there's a book called The Scientology Handbook, which is more like a catechism. It's just a glossary of an illustrated book about different things in the church. And then there is the book called The Creation of Human Ability, A Handbook for Scientologists. That is the book I was referring to. That's the book that teaches you how to exteriorize.
There's also the GEC, the Garden of Eden Creation Kit.
Yeah.
Not related. Sorry.
Let's see. Another thing I wanted to... So, the video I was previously talking about Scientology's representation in different forms of media. That will be next Sunday's episode. The episode on Thursday is going to be a little different. It's going to be a breakdown of an interview that was done, or that just came out today on the YouTube channel Breaking Points.
That I showed him, by the way.
Yeah, where it was with the person who runs the Growing Up in Scientology YouTube channel. So we listened to that, and there's so much in it that's just, I don't know if it's deliberately a lie or if it's unintentionally wrong. It's one of those two things. So, I mean, there's a concept in Scientology, but it exists in every medium in the world of what you know you don't know and what you don't know you don't know being a Venn diagram. And, so I don't know which of those two camps it falls into. Is, if he knows that he doesn't know the truth and is lying about it, or if he doesn't know what he doesn't know and is just saying what he thinks. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to split it up into actual quotable pieces of his interview, break down what he said, and talk about why it's not correct, or in some cases why it is. And then I will point you to specific books, specific materials, to point out how what he's saying is wrong. And the materials that I point out that aren't top secret materials. Every time I point you to something, it's going to be something you can either get for free, see on the church's website.
You don't need a government clearance.
Yeah, see on a giant board in the church itself, or in basic books, in any of the basic materials that anybody is allowed to get at any point. So the another thing I wanted to talk about is Dianetics and talk about auditing again, mostly because I felt like what we talked about last time about what an engram is good. What was a good example, and I think it fit really well. And so I wanted to talk about being audited and also self-processing with the book Self-Analysis. There are a couple of different examples that I was trying to think of, but the main one and the main reason that I joined the church in the first place, well, I mean, for starters, the only reason I ever joined the Church of Scientology at all is because back in 2015 in North Idaho, I was doing community service for getting in trouble with alcohol for the 35th plus time at that point. And I was doing community service at the St. Vinny's in Post Falls. And while I was in there, they were having me alphabetize the book section at the front of the store. And one of the books that they had was Dianetics. And the book was not the current version. It wasn't even the last version or the version before. If you are an old Scientologist, you'll get this. But if you don't, you can Google it. It was the version of Dianetics that came in a almost pure yellow cover.
How many versions of Dianetics are there?
It's just different reprintings. They would change the cover or different... Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
The material inside the book is more or less still exactly the same. A couple of words simplified to be easier to understand. Which I know many of you independent Scientologists will disagree with what I just said, but I will have you know that what I just said was the first version of Dianetics I read was the one from the 60s, and it's still almost exactly the same as the one from today that I have also read more than once. So I found that book, and then I bought it for like 75 cents and read it. That was the first time I ever read Dianetics. And I read it with a ripped YouTube video, the ripped YouTube upload of the movie How to Use Dianetics. And didn't know anything about Scientology at that point. But that was also the time that I'm almost certain it was when Leah Remini's first show or for one of her first things had come out. And so I was watching that. And I have a friend whose name I won't mention because they're still involved with the actual church up in Seattle, where we decided after watching that show that and after having read Dianetics that we were going to join to find out if what everybody was saying was real. And I mean, we went into the church from the beginning already knowing everything that had been said on Leah Remini's show. It was either Leah Remini or Going Clear the Prison of Belief. One of those two shows. Can't remember for sure which one. Pretty sure it was Leah Remini. So
the King of Queens wife?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And so we went into the church planning to question everything, which is something that you should always do in the first place.
You know, the Science Channel used to be their slogan. I don't know when they changed it. I don't have cable anymore, so I don't know.
And that, not to get too sidetracked, but when it relates to all of those interviews, like what we were just talking about with the Breaking Points interview, you should question everything that he says. I do. I question everything that they tell me at the church, too.
Well, even the hosts.
Yeah. I mean, we watch Breaking Points regularly to begin with, and there is a...
Which is not the main source of our news, but it is one of many.
And so...
Sorry, not to get sidetracked.
No.
My job is to get him sidetracked.
So with going into the church already planning on questioning everything, that's what I was going to say is... When he tells you, and we'll go more into depth in this interview, when he tells you things like, the church is my enemy and I'm out for revenge, you should question why.
Well, just the motive of revenge, just cold, fucking flat out, that's sus.
I mean, and it's not just him, of course, but anybody. You should question everything I say. That's why I give you sources and books and... specific materials I call for that I'm telling you why I'm saying it. So when I joined the church, I didn't go in blindly. I knew everything from that, from those shows and the documentaries and all that. And even questioning everything, there's nothing that Scientology has ever told me to believe that I, and they don't do that anyway, but there's nothing the book said that I don't believe because I wasn't able to experience it myself. So question everything. We both question everything. We still communicate now. And I mean, it should tell you everything. We've both been Scientologists for 9 years. I still practice even outside of the church. And he is on staff at the org in Seattle.
How high up is he?
I'm not even going to say that, just in case.
Sorry, never mind.
I may not be talking about the wrong org deliberately, but needless to say, the person who is on staff in an org, and we're going to say Seattle for the sake of their position.
He is in the club.
I don't know if the church is listening yet, or if they ever will, or if they'll even be pissed off at me about this, but I mean...
I mean, if they can infiltrate the government...
At the end of the day, the OSA is real. That does exist in Scientology.
I thought you were going to say OSA.
So, close. It's the Office of Special Affairs, so maybe not too far off.
Well, yeah. I was going to say the OSS doesn't exist anymore. Yeah.
And so, as we went through the church, this is why I wanted to talk about that little sidetrack, is the first time that I ever had an actual Ingram be reduced of charge was a very difficult thing that happened to me in my life relating to a sexual assault. And that sat with me in my head every night that I would go to sleep, whenever it was dark. For a long time, there were these things that it was ruining my life. And the I Help West, which is the group I was telling you guys about in a previous episode, which is just groups of auditors. You can find auditors in different areas to be audited. They have to be trained and certified as an auditor by the church. So they helped me meet an auditor in Spokane. And I saw them multiple times. But the one thing I can remember is I can distinctly remember when that specific chain for that Ingram was broken. And all of the charge was gone. So when that's why I believe so much in Dianetics specifically. I will defend auditing to my dying breath that works. If you have some, if you do what it says and you genuinely want to participate and you're not just a, and you're cooperative and you're trying, it will work. I guarantee it will work. That's all I can say.
Unlike me, I am not willing to try. So.
And so there are other things with self-analysis. Self-analysis, like I was saying, you can go clear with by yourself with self-analysis and a handbook for pre-clears. It gets you to what's called the ideal state of being, which is clear. It's like I was saying, it's really hard to do, but when I do self-analysis on my own, you can. You're not supposed to, I will say, you're not supposed to deviate from the book until you feel very confident in your ability to bring yourself back to present time. Because if you get stuck in a bad memory and you keep having it play over and over and over in your head, I mean that could fuck up anybody's life, and
And
I that happens.
this is the person being audited.
Well, in self-analysis, this is you auditing yourself. So you have to
Okay,
be able to
okay.
recognize if you are not in your own in present time.
The auditor and
Because,
auditee.
yeah. Because, yeah.
Okay.
If you do self-analysis when you get out of it, the way that you're a good trick that you can use and that is to just kind of calm yourself down. And before you even think about it, ask yourself, literally ask yourself out loud, what day is it? Snap your fingers and answer as fast as possible. And if you're wrong, you go, then you're not in present time. That's a good way to kind of get yourself back to your bearings.
Well, if anybody's classy enough, can they pull out a pocket watch and like swing it in front of themselves and snap themselves out of it? Or does that occupy too many hands?
I don't think you can hypnotize yourself. If you can, that would be impressive.
Well, yeah, shit.
Because, self-analysis is that same kind of thing where you are putting yourself, and that's why it's so much harder, is you don't have someone else's analytical brain helping you interpret the data. You have to do it with your own. So, as you're pulling out this data from your reactive mind that's making you emotional, which is the whole problem in the first place, you have to have the power of will to control your own emotions, your anger, your sadness, your fear, whatever it is tied to the charge in that engram that you are working on by yourself. You have to have the wherewithal to be able to control yourself to not let it kill you and while you are trying to work through it. If you're recalling something that makes you angry and you're trying to take yourself through it to remember what you hear or what you see or what you smell or what you feel, as you go through it over and over again, it's perfectly understandable that you are going to get more and more irrational and emotional as you're reliving something traumatic. That's the whole point of co-auditing with another person in the first place, is because that is what you're trying to work through in the first place.
Which makes me just think of Joaquin Phoenix,
Yeah.
in the Master.
Yeah, I mean that movie, I mean we'll
It's
talk
a
about it later,
very
but
good movie.
yeah, that movie does in some scenes does portray auditing in a good sense. It's wrong in saying that L. Ron Hubbard was talking about pre-life experiences all the way back or previous life experiences all the way back in
When
Dianetics. He's not.
you were saying that the creator of that film was saying that was not L. Ron Hubbard, but I
Oh
mean
yeah, that's why
obviously
I mean that's why he wanted to show it to Tom Cruise. I mean, 'cause it's fucking
Oh,
obvious that it's based on him and Scientology.
I was gonna say I
So
don't remember what he looks like, but when I
yeah.
see L. Ron Hubbard now, I think of that dude.
And yeah, I mean the likeness is uncanny.
Oh, okay. It's
So
in that territory.
I mean the picture, I mean where you can't see what we're pointing at, but on the materials
Oh, okay.
chart,
Hold on. Let me
that
look at this.
picture is the picture that the character takes of him.
Oh, yeah. That does look like him. Holy
Yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you have the guide to the materials chart in the bottom right corner, the Saint Hill Lectures has a picture of Elrond on the cover, and the similarity in appearance is striking. We'll
Didn't
just say that.
you say this chart was free?
This, yes, the guide to the materials is free. You can get it for free from the website, or you can get it for free from an org. Either
Hey,
way,
hey, hey.
and you should, because when we get to the Wall of Fire, I'm going to refer to something to this very specifically, and I want you to be able to see it if you don't trust me.
I would also recommend a magnifying glass if you do buy this chart, because a lot of the words are very small.
Yep, that font is teeny. So, yeah. So with Dianetics, that's what I was going to say is I had a really difficult Ingram that I had to work through. And so from working through that and then using self-analysis in other ways, if you try it and you apply it, especially with self-analysis, no one even needs to be in the room with you. You just sit there, read the first one, and I promise you, if you really do it, it will calm you down. It makes you feel better. Whether that's a placebo effect, does that really even matter with mental health therapy?
That's what I was going to say. Like, even if it is just a placebo effect, that will still at least help you somewhat.
I mean, and that was another thing I wanted to talk about with psychosomatic illnesses, because something that he brought up was an interesting thought to me, and I'd never really postulated on it in this way. If you take yourself out of your own experience, if you think about this from because we watch Scrubs, and it makes me think of a character in Scrubs.
Scrubs is the best show ever.
Where he is, I can't even think of the word.
What is he?
He always thinks he's sick. What is that word?
Oh, he's, no, is it hypochondriac?
Yes.
No,
yep, that's the word.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Oh, Richard Kind, yep.
Yeah, so, and that's, it wasn't that that made me think of it, but the idea makes me think of the character.
I'll take the needle.
If you put yourself in the position of someone who's a hypochondriac who genuinely truly believes that they are sick with something, they believe they are sick, they believe that they have pain and wherever, they believe that this is actually killing them. If you put yourself into that person's shoes, not knowing that they don't have it, what really is the difference between pain caused by an actual disease and pain caused by believing you have it so much that you can feel it? Because that's true, that's real. You can look that up on Wikipedia. People can believe that they have a disease so much that they can feel it.
Well, psychosomatic?
Right, and that's what I'm leading into here, because that's what Dianetics talks about so much with psychosomatic illnesses. So if you think about this from the perspective of the person, or even from yourself looking in with that mindset, if you really think about it, what is the difference between what an actual illness and one that you believe into existence? So, and the reason that I say that is that's a lot of why people think that Dianetics and auditing is such bullshit. They believe that, because it talks about how you can use Dianetics to overcome illnesses and relieve yourself from different pains. And that what I just gave you as a postulate is what L. Ron Hubbard always thought about and wrote about, is that how many things really begin as a psychosomatic illness in the first place. I'll give you another example with glasses. They always say that if a kid and this happened to me when I was a kid, my vision was fine. But then I started to wear my mom's glasses, and I wanted to wear glasses so bad that they told me that I had fucked up my eyes.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
My brother had horrible vision. His vision was so bad that he had like the kid from Stuart Little glasses, where his eyes were like magnified. And he did the same kind of thing. And now he has perfectly normal vision. He never had LASIK. He doesn't wear contacts. He doesn't wear glasses.
So
he has fixed his vision. And I will ask him if he will come on and talk about that, because that shit is crazy.
I was gonna say, be careful what you wish for, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in that case, yeah, because I don't know what the fuck I was thinking, and maybe I wanted to be like my mom.
Well, I mean, kids are dumb.
But I mean,
inherently.
The reason I use that example too is because L. Ron Hubbard specifically uses that as an example in Dianetics, where he talks about how using Dianetics, you might find that your vision gets better, because you could find you could find the original instance where you told yourself you have bad vision, and so you created bad vision.
That's interesting.
And so that's what I mean by what is the difference for the person between believe, and if you can believe yourself, believe bad vision into existence, maybe you can believe good vision into existence too. I don't know that, but that's what L. Ron Hubbard thought. I mean, that's one of the things he thought if you found, and he says that he found in auditing people, could happen. And so I have never seen that other than with my brother, but his experience makes me think that it is real. And that's what really relates to other illnesses. He thought that arthritis or certain kind of joint pain was another example where, let's say you fall down and you hurt your knee and it's cold. And your body, like we talked about last week with the reactive mind, only seeing in similarities, not seeing in differences. So his thought on that was, if your reactive brain, when you hurt yourself and you put yourself into a lesser state of unconsciousness and it starts recording, it records cold knee pain. So later, this happens for people all the time. They say, when it's cold outside, my knee hurts. Or something like that. Different versions of that, but the base theory remains the same. So when you go outside, your reactive mind, without you even realizing, is saying, is cold equals knee hurts. So if you can find the original instance...
That's a good equation.
So, I mean, that's... and so that's what he means by the reactive mind is stupid. So if you can find that Ingram of that original instance and pull that data and put it into your analytical mind, instead of seeing is cold equals knee hurts, your analytical mind will know that it's cold, but it's not the same place, so knee does not hurt.
Yeah, don't use your dumb brain. Use your smart brain.
I
would say if you do have King's disease, either quit drinking or quit eating as much meat.
And I would... Probably
the drinking part.
I don't know if we'll be able to do this, but I would really love to. It may work out with someone in the area. If I can find somebody, I would like to do an auditing session if that person was comfortable doing it while recorded.
I was going to say, we don't have much of a studio.
Well,
we're going to be embarrassed to have somebody come here.
I think that, I would really like to do that because I've noticed even when I was training to be an auditor, when you're auditing, everybody finds a twin with somebody else who's in training.
And they don't have to look alike?
No, they don't. They just have to go back and forth and audit each other to get used to the procedures. And even watching it makes you feel better. So I'm curious to see if hearing it makes you feel better. Because I don't know if it's like an innate... One of the dynamics in Dianetics, there's only four, but in Scientology, there's eight. But one of the dynamics is the group dynamic or the mankind dynamic. And my thought is that watching somebody succeed or get better makes you feel better because it's raising you up in that dynamic. You want to experience what they're... You want to survive to help see more people do better, like what you're watching.
Well, I would think that if you're a normal human and not a sociopath or crazy, you would like to see people improve.
I wish that I believed that from the general public anymore.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, if you're a normal person, I like to believe that that is true.
If you don't have a smooth brain, I guess is the one way to put it.
And there was, I also wanted to talk about this too. I specifically wanted to point out one specific falsehood. I'll talk about this more from this Breaking Points interview, but I wanted to bring it back to this because what he said irritated me so much. He kept saying, most Scientologists don't know blah, blah, blah. And so I want to say, if you are in the Church of Scientology, out of it, a former member, whatever, and you can honestly say to yourself that you learned something at a point, a piece of doctrine or a piece of tech or whatever that you didn't know about, that's your fault. every single thing that the Church of Scientology teaches you is available from the beginning if you pay attention. That's one of the reasons I would really like you to get the materials guide, because the materials guide in every single Scientology building is huge. It's like they bring you to it when you're taking a tour of the org and invite you to look at it. So in specific, there was one part where he was talking about how most Scientologists don't know about the OT things, don't know about body thetans, which I hesitate to even bring up right now, but because he talked about it, I have to talk about it. So two things on that. One, Scientology 880 and Scientology 8808, both of those books are about OT. There's also The Creation of Human Ability, the Handbook for Scientologists. That whole book is about exteriorization and OT ability. All of those are basic books, basic lectures. They have them on sale in the front of the store. And it says right there on the frickin' materials guide chart, exterior OT ability. They're not secret.
Wait, where is this? Oh, okay. Hold on. I need to make sure this is... Okay, yeah, that's right.
And so the other thing where he talks about how most people don't know about, and I'm just going to say the wall of fire. I've mentioned this before, but I want to read you something a little something here.
Oh, shit. We are getting deep.
And I'll read this again when we talk about the other thing.
God, that is a big
But
book.
This is, again, free. This is free from the church. You get it when you go in. They'll give it to you. Now, I wanted to talk about this because he says about the wall of fire, most Scientologists don't know about this, about the 76 trillion years. I want you to tell me what giant letters it says at the top of this free book.
76 trillion years of glare fights, implants, between lives, exploding... I know, come on.
Oh my gosh.
Don't embarrass me here. I know what that word is. Entities, blanketings, volcanoes, and theta traps.
Now, I want you to tell me right now, all you people out there, what story in the Church of Scientology that all these people keep telling you they never knew about has to do with 76 trillion years, implants, and volcanoes?
Send in the emails.
I would love for you to tell me. So I wish anybody with even the most basic knowledge of the Church of Scientology, when one of these idiots goes on shows and talks like that, would say, you were in the Sea Org for what, 16 years? Tell me what the fuck Technique 88 is. Because that's from a basic book, The History of Man, and it's right there. The book is $20. You can go to Scientology.org and buy it right now for $20.
You're so passionate right now. I love it.
Pisses me off, because I swear to God, it drives me nuts when Leah Remini is like, they don't fucking tell you this shit. Well, if you paid attention to any of the shit they ever said to you. Ugh.
Yeah, you and your fucking Hollywood money.
God.
Fucking bitch.
So stupid. It's so annoying. There are so many other examples of stuff like this, and it drives me fucking crazy when they lie like that.
Also, I just want to briefly apologize for any audio issues that, if there are any. We have a strict budget around here at the Scientology Chat podcast.
And before any of you take that the wrong way, it's not because I give all my money to the Church of Scientology.
Right, right.
Because I know that people will say, yeah, they're on a strict budget. Yeah, that's another thing. You know what? While we're ranting.
It's because we're poor and we have day jobs.
While we're ranting, I'm going to continue with another thing that Leah Remini once said that also pisses me off.
Oh, shit.
She said that if you ever go to a Church of Scientology building and you look in the parking lot, you'll notice that everybody drives a piece of shit car. I just want you to know that I paid for my own car myself by working my ass off. It's a not new, but nice 2006 Toyota Prius.
It's newer than my car.
I mean, and I'll say, and I want to say this. When I would go to the Church of Scientology, the Celebrity Center, whatever, I had the shittiest car in the parking lot. Without question.
Which is nothing to be ashamed about, because, I mean, really, come on.
So, and that thought process is another thing that's so easy to show is total garbage, but I just wanted to mention that because I've seen her say that more than once in interviews, and it just drives me nuts that rich people are so deluded that they can't,
well,
I mean, maybe they were shittier than her car she got with her acting money, but, I mean...
My thing about that is it's not even rich people. It's the culture and people wanting to have the next iPhone.
Well, I mean,
even though it's fucking crazy overpriced. Like, who the fuck is, like, in the right mind is gonna pay $1,000 or over for a fucking phone?
Right. I mean,
the Gucci bags and all that fucking dumb shit.
So, and yeah, well, I mean,
welcome to the Gilded Age, part two.
And that's one of the things that she likes to say is that people give so much money. And that kind of leads to one other thing.
I was going
to
say, Tom Cruise can afford it.
Yes, he certainly can. I also wanted to say, I hear so many stories about how people who join the church feel like they're pressured to move up, pressured to buy more books, pressured to take courses, blah, blah, blah. And people say that that's the Church of Scientology taking advantage of them, to which I want to say that is the biggest load of BS I can think of, because if you read Dianetics and you do that and you actually work on yourself and you still don't have the ability to say no to somebody.
Just the self-awareness.
I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I told people at the Church of Scientology, no, I wasn't doing that. No, I wasn't ready. No, no, no.
Well, that's like every time you come out of the store and the Girl Scouts are selling their cookies.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't fucking want any.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, grow a pair, people. I mean, that's what drives. I mean, people are like, I'm afraid if I go to the Church of Scientology and talk to them that they'll pressure me into doing something. If you have such horrible self-confidence, even at the basic level, that you can't just say no, what are they going to do? They're not going to, like, beat you up because you won't take a course.
Yeah, this is 2024. No means no.
I mean, there's so much of that. Finally, and we're getting kind of towards the end here, but I wanted to talk about one last thing because it was something else that he mentioned. And it's been mentioned in other ways, and it kind of relates to...
When you're talking about he, are you talking about me?
I'm talking about the dude from Breaking Points, his YouTube channel, where he was talking about body thetans, and I hate to even use that again, but I will. So... we will talk way more about what he was talking about with the implant later... Even though, like he just read to you from the giant book for free, you can just read it yourself in a $20 book.
I did read that.
So, reincarnation, where he's like, where he talks about how in Scientology, your thetan is controlling a body, and when you die, your thetan goes on and it finds another body to latch onto. It's not real. That's not an accurate description of how Scientology believes a thetan works. It's not the same as, like, as you die, you're reborn again right away.
So it's not like, what is it, Buddhism?
Yeah, so, or other, I guess, general interpretations.
Either Buddhism or Hinduism.
Because this is just straight from what L. Ron Hubbard said. Everything that he ever wrote in any of his books was things that he thought that he experienced while auditing people in different points of their track, using different techniques, different machines, whatever. Everything he wrote was things that he experienced and then or saw and then wrote down, which I believe because I genuinely, but I know that over the 60s and 70s, L. Ron personally audited probably 15,000 hours of different Scientologists.
Well, I was going to say that he experienced in quotes, air quotes.
Well, yeah.
Because I'm not sure I believe all that, but go on.
Well, and that's why I like the lectures more than the books. The lectures are way more expensive and longer, but he gives specific people by name, different people he worked with. That's why I say his name may be on the cover, but he never shied away from giving people credit. And so that's kind of, with reincarnation, he believed that Thetans would move on to different hosts at certain points, but at a certain, he never like took a wild stab at something if he didn't experience it or write it down from whatever he experienced with another person. So he doesn't ever specifically say if your Thetan immediately finds another host. In fact, he thought that it was the opposite, that Thetans who find themselves attached to new life is usually by happenstance. And so with body Thetans, and we'll cover this more in a later at a later date, but I don't want to interpret the materials, but I think I'm pretty much going to have to at this point.
I'm just here as a fly on the wall.
So when you die and you're the part of you that makes you you, if it doesn't immediately find another host, where, and I don't even really want to use that word, but
oh shit, I thought I turned that.
That's our 40-minute timer. I'm going to try to edit that out. But as he, as your Thetan tries to find something else, if it can't find an immediate host or while it's going along, it can just wind up attaching to something that's already got a host. I don't want to get far ahead of myself, but I just wanted to talk about that because what he said about reincarnation and how it works in Scientology is wrong. And so I will discuss that more in the Wall of Fire episode because that's where body Thetans come into play way more intricately. So once we get to that, I'll talk about it more. That pretty much brings us to the end today. And I want to end by saying everything that I say, you should question it. You should read the books that I say, look it up on Google, but don't just take someone else's interpretation for it as word. Read it yourself.
I would also say go a little bit down the list if you do search on Google, because they do kind of favorite a lot of different sources, most of which are tied to the government. And the government is not to be trusted. I cannot stress that enough.
And then, and in all the other videos you may see about Scientology, whether it's something from the church, whether it's someone speaking in support of it, someone telling you about it, somebody giving you their grievances of it, whatever the case may be, you should question why they're saying what they're saying. You shouldn't just say they're saying it because it's true. Because if all of us are honest with ourselves, how often do we say something about other people simply because it's true and not because we have something, there is an ulterior motive? I can be honest with myself and say that there are a lot of times where if I'm pointing out that somebody has done something wrong and I'm not keeping my mouth shut about it, it's not because they actually did something that I feel is worth talking about. It's because I want to air a grievance about them for some measure of revenge.
There's that revenge thing again.
And that's a much stronger word than what I'm really intimating at here, okay. But I feel like okay. You could probably get the gist of what I'm saying. I don't think there's really anybody on Earth who can truly say that they, I mean, to use Christianity, live in a glass house and are willing to throw stones for no reason. So let's just be real here. When people are saying anything about the church or anything in general, you should take it like they're talking about yourself and wonder, why are they saying these things? And try to find out. There are few things in the world that are straightforward. And so that kind of gets us to our end tonight. We'll be back on Thursday with our breakdown of that interview. We'll be back again on Sunday, and we'll talk about the Epsilon program in GTA 5, the Havologists in Fallout, and the Master. And then if you have any questions or want to talk about anything, You can reach out to ScientologyChat, all one word, at gmail.com.
Wait, are you talking about the Master of the Movie or the Master... Oh, okay.
Yep, and so I think that pretty much sums it up. Was there anything you wanted to say?
You know, world peace, read books, question everything, especially authority.
Yeah.
And the government.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a good night.
Bye.